I took off my Giants cap and replaced it with the floppy camo hat I'd used through my two tours in Vietnam. I reset my pack, checked my pistols, the canteen pouches full of ammo, and held out my hand. "Might not be back this way, Pablo, but it's been great meeting you. I hope we all live through this. Maybe someday we can all sit around and have more than half a beer. If you ever get to Portland, come find me." "I would like that," he said through his amazing mustache. His deep brown eyes were clear, and his handshake was dry and firm. "Look for the truck at the west end of town in Sonoyta. If the truck is there, so am I." I handed him the Giant's cap. "Keep this, and wear it in good health." His gaze intensified, then he smiled and nodded. Before I slid into the woods, I found a small pebble and carefully climbed the structure supporting the deck. I was very careful to make no sound and to not sway the deck. Daniel was still sitting at the table looking through the scope of his rifle. I launched the pebble and felt immense satisfaction as it bounced off the back of his neck. I could hear him laughing as I dropped to the ground, picked up the Kar-15, slung it around my neck, and melted into the trees. Once under the canopy, I waited until my eyes adjusted. It was an easy walk down. I followed no trail and took care to leave no sign, no marking of my passing. My breathing was shallow and slow. I stopped every 50 yards or so to listen. I was hoping that a veteran Green Beret on a deeply personal mission was about the last person they expected to visit on such a nice warm morning. There was no margin for error. I was fairly confident that I could fight my way out of most anything I encountered, but this wasn't about me, and it wasn't just a recon to gather intelligence for an idiotic and counterproductive chain of command. I tried to keep my heart clear of feelings for Willie, but that was difficult. I missed Bucket, not only his nose and ears, but his easy camaraderie and unconditional friendship. I took deep breaths. I pushed myself. Sure enough, soon enough, my old training and the added maturity of being in my mid-40s had me deep into the focus I needed. I emptied my mind and let myself fall into the rhythm of the mission. The only trails in the shallow canyon were those of small deer, dogs, or coyotes, or both. Small rodents had come and gone, no human footprints in the forest. I made it a point to look up into the tree branches because humans, unless they are birders, tend not to look up. In extreme circumstances, that can be fatal omission. Every moment counted, every step was important. After about 15 minutes, I came to the new-looking chain-link fence that surrounded the villa's property and knelt to study it. There was no evidence of security measures. I crept along the perimeter just inside the tree line. The terrain on the other side of the fence was open and easy to defend. There were meticulously maintained shrubs and flowers. Small trees were artfully spaced in weedless beds. Somebody worked the grounds here every day, and had for years. I reached a corner where the fence line turned west and got my first good look at the house. It sat about 100 yards from where I crouched and looked sturdy, made from big timbers and adobe, maybe some stucco. I could make out what I thought to be the original building, from which the newer parts of the structure seemed to anchor themselves. It might have been a school at one time, or a small house in support of a bigger one. I heard a noise to my left. The front end of a wheelbarrow came into view. It was ancient and boxy. The noise came from its nubby metal wheel. It was full of bright yellow flowering plants. The man pushing it might have been as old as the wheelbarrow, but he pushed it effortlessly. He reminded me a little bit of what Jasper might become as an elderly gentleman. His face was deeply lined and indescribably sad, framed by a shock of white hair that swept out of his straw sombrero and was tucked behind his ears. His plain cotton clothing was stained, but they were old marks. The cloth looked recently laundered. Worn rope sandals scuffed lightly through the grass. He must have felt my eyes upon him because he stopped exactly opposite from me and set his wheelbarrow down. I did not breathe, and I shifted my gaze away. I tried to evaporate. I thought tree and earth. I thought air and the spaces between all of my molecules. I held my breath and lowered my face. The old man came up and stopped, not 2 feet from the fence, and peered into the woods. I felt his milky brown eyes pass over me, but they did not linger. He seemed to reach a decision. "I am old," he said in soft Spanish, "and my eyes and ears do not work very well, but I know you are there. If you are the angel I have prayed for, I welcome you. If you are not, go away, because you will die here at the hands of these—" He paused and sighed. "People, vaya con Dios."